always knew I was doing the right thing. Because you have a steadiness about you. And I believe in you. But it comes so, and you must be smarter than your enemy. What are you trying to say?
Americans, they're very smart, but sometimes they can be incredibly stupid. They spend all this money and time and energy on the so-called war on terror. They put satellites up in space. They can ram a smart bomb up a camel's ass from a situation over 5,000 miles away. But every time the U.S. kills an Al-Qaeda leader, what happens? There's a new one before the body's cold. You do it a million times. You never get it because the real solution always eludes them. That is, do nothing. Nothing. If you want to shut down a fundamentally flawed system, all you gotta do is step out of its way, and it'll shut itself down. Nature has a way of correcting itself.
White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
Well, I'm always interested and enthralled by these articles, by these newspaper guys, these journalists, these fake journalists that don't know what the hell's going on, but they really like you to think they know what's going on. I saw one here called The Scourge of the Lone Wolf by Dr. Dave Sloggett. I wonder if he got his doctorate like some of these right-wing guys, anyhow, we won't go into that. All these right-wingers with these phony doctors, they got it from Popular Mechanics, probably. Anyhow, the deaths of 49 people at a bar in Orlando, Florida, at the hands of a single gunman, and the massacre of 85 people in Nice, France, using a truck as a weapon of terror, demonstrate the threat that so-called lone wolves present to society. Lone wolves are not usually so successful. Well, I have a few questions about this. Now, if they're just simply wanting to scare people so they'll cling to the government that ISIS and these people hate, I mean, they hate the government, so why would they do things that cause people to support and cling to the government? You ever stop and think about that? Why wouldn't they be killing people in power? Whoops, watch out there, Tom. Why look like that, what Aldo Oro or whatever his name was over there in France, that the Red Army faction killed him and hauled him around in the trunk of the car for a week? I think they knew something. They didn't go out and bomb their fellow citizens. And those were Frenchmen, too. They didn't do that, because that's not what changes things. That makes no change. No, it makes it worse. You know, what they're doing now. Because, you know, people are paranoid and then, oh my, government, save me, save me. But why do the people behind ISIS and these kind of people do these things? It only gives more power to the central government and the money factions, the bankers and everything else. Why would they do that? Well, it's probably because they've been convinced of being controlled by the very system they claim they're against. If they hate the United States government, why wouldn't they have these lone wolves picking off politicians every time they go down the street, every time they ride home on the subway, every time they jump in their car and get on the freeway or go down the street? That would make more sense to me. Now, this doesn't make sense. He goes on to say, on a train traveling at high speed across the Belgian-French border, the actions of two former United States Marines stopped a single gunman armed with an assault weapon and a handgun from wreaking havoc. However, if the automatic weapon had not jammed and the gunman had been able to resist being overpowered by two civilians, he could have killed as many as 554 people on the train, I guess, if he had that much ammunition. He was, as they say in military terms, operating a target-rich environment, in a target-rich environment. Well, he achieved his goal anyhow because the massive fear and the publicity that the corporate press, of course, are collude in scares the hell out of people, spreads, I don't like to use the word terrorist, but for make it simple, I will. Then these people vote for people that are going to give them more centralized government. They're going to support the government because the government's the only thing that's going to protect us because we've been convinced a long time ago to turn in our weapons. And we're not supposed to do anything. We're supposed to depend on the police and the politicians and the army and all that, right? I don't think that's getting people very far. I don't think that's getting them very far. Trains have become the new planes as far as terrorists are concerned. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the new terrorists are the United States Army, the British Army, the French Army, the Russian Army, and all these people. That's the big terrorists, because they don't fart around. Whereas in the past, the Al-Qaeda had preoccupation with attacking airliners, the Islamic State has focused on other aspects of the transportation systems, encouraging lone wolves to do their worst at any time and using any means. It's possible to label such acts as Martini terrorism, playing on the strap line associated with the apartheid of the same name. In these cases, however, the strap line is modified to suggest any time, any place, anyhow, just to keep the sheep upset and scared. That's how they control things. So the system, what does the system need? The system needs these guys. And it's an easy form to control the people by scaring the shit out of them. Very simple. Do you think that the military-industrial complex really wants to stop this mass-killing crap, of which they're better at it than anybody else? You know, one lone wolf with a gun on a train versus the U.S. Air Force or the German Air Force or the English Air Force or that? Why, there's no comparison. So why would the government of the United States and Obama and all his friends and the Bushes love terrorism? Look at the amount of money being spent on arms for the military. They're wanting more and more. this year was about $1 billion, and they still want more. And next year, if there's more terrorism by lone wolves, they're going to be asking for a lot more. Don't you get it? Now, when the Red Army faction kidnapped Morrow, the big banker, they sent a big message. That was a real message. And it didn't hurt the general public. The general public didn't get hurt at all. Just one big, bad, corrupt, crooked banker. Of course, they only, I guess, did it once. However, can you imagine if it started happening all over the place? High-ranking military, high-ranking government officials, high-ranking bankers, high-ranking feds people, high-ranking corporate press. What if they all started getting whacked? Huh. I think that might be the right message to be delivered, you know. Instead of this nonsense of scaring the people, the population, so they'll support the feds. Once the people got noticed that whoever's doing the killing were not out to kill the general public and just big shots, I think things would calm down. General public wouldn't care that much. Oh, yeah, you think they would because they love the baby Jesus. I don't think so. If the bad guys at the top who are causing all the problem, really, they're behind all the problems. If they started being whacked and the public got the general idea that the whackers were not out to get them in their houses and kill their kids, this whole thing would turn around. Whereas in the past, Al-Qaeda had a preoccupation with attacking airliners, the Islamic State has focused on other aspects of transportation systems. Now, I'm sure that these guys are the foot soldiers that kill themselves in these suicide bombs. They think this is exactly the plan that's going to bring down these governments. No, it's not going to bring down any. It's going to make them stronger, more powerful, and more dangerous. So why would that be happening unless ISIS was a manufactured entity by the system and the power structure? Now, that we've seen some articles about that already. Most of the time they chalk it off to confusion and stupidity that the leaders don't know what they're doing. Oh, the leaders know exactly what they're doing, man. On other aspects of the transportation systems, encouraging lone wolves to do their worst at any time and using any means, it is possible to label such acts as martini terrorism, playing on the strap line associated with the, I already read that, you stupid idiot. Recent events in Canada and the United States, Germany and France, and possibly London, that's where most of the money is, where a United States citizen was murdered by someone suffering with a mental condition. Well, I think about everybody's got some kind of mental condition nowadays. Yeah. And a lot of it is being put into them by over-the-counter drugs and things like that. And in another event, three people were stabbed at the Leytonstone Underground Station. Illustrate the ability of the lone wolf to enjoy a high degree of maneuver room. Well, if they really wanted to get the lone wolves, why would they bring millions of people who come from countries that hate our guts or hate somebody's guts into the country? Now, why would you bring thousands and thousands and thousands of people out of areas where the ISIS is and all these other killer groups into your country if you didn't want ISIS-type assassins on your streets? It's a good question, isn't it? Think about that. However, the results of such attacks can be unpredictable. Well, either you get some people or you don't get some people. The numbers of people killed and injured varies widely. Well, because most of these people doing the killing are not professionals. They're amateurs. Boy, if they get the professionals involved with real hitmen, you got a real problem. You know, you ever see that movie, The Day of the Jackal? Well, there's an older black and white movie, and then there's a new one of the, including the nigger. But the older black and white one was great. Why aren't they sending people like that in? Nobody that I've seen yet or that's been caught or even been killed and caught operated like that, like pros. Now, if you are ISIS, why wouldn't you be training absolute professionals able to do about anything and get away with it, or at least do about anything? Why do they send all the amateurs? Yeah, well, that's pretty obvious. They're not really wanting to do what you think they want to do. All the people doing this stuff is to do this intermittent kind of crazy stuff that does have more an effect on the people getting scared. If you had professional assassins, there's hope with a scope, remember that? They would be taking out people who are really dangerous to society. I mean, not people in the crowd or people on the train or people on the plane. They'd be taking out the people that are causing the problem at the top. Again, I say that, at the top. Not at the bottom, not amateurs, professionals. At present, however, such attacks still have the ability to grab the main headlines. That's because the corporate press are involved with the ruling class and they are used as a mouthpiece to scare the shit out of you. That's what they're for. To spread crap, spread it all over the place. Build the heroes, build the villains, and all that kind of stuff. In Brussels, news that a single woman had run amok with a machete on a bus in Brussels made the front page of the European mainstream media. Well, yeah, I mean, there's nutcases always out there. I mean, before there ever was a Middle East problem, if there ever was a time before that, but people run into the streets and with a knife or a sword or a gun and kill people. That's nothing new. What's new about that? You know, we turn out all the mentally handicapped people onto the streets. We treat them with toxic drugs and so forth. Then like Ronald Reagan, the wonderful Jesus-loving Ronald Reagan, they closed all the mental hospitals in California and turned them all out on the street. Do you remember that? I remember that. They just opened the doors, shoved them out in the street, locked the doors, and closed the buildings down so they were not getting any treatment for mental health. Well, what do you think is going to happen when you put too many nuts on the street? They're going to kill people. Lone wolves, it seems, still have the ability to grab the headlines. There, I read that. Further attacks by lone wolves are inevitable. Of course, that's what the government wants. The wrong kind of lone wolves. The lone wolves that just indiscriminately kill people in the streets that are in their houses or in the schools and like that. Because that achieves what the ruling class wants to have. You have to swear your allegiance to the central government because they're going to save your ass. In a video released on August 21st, ISIS sought to glorify the actions of those who would be taken up a variety of arms. it suggested that even a baseball bat or a screwdriver could be used as a weapon, showing the extent of which they will go to promote further attacks. Well, I think that's true, and I'd like to see that in the Congress. They used to every once in a while have something happen in the Congress. Maybe everybody should go into the gallery with a baseball bat. That wouldn't scare the public. That would thrill the public. The message in the video was simple and picked up previous narratives emerging from the terrorist group. I call them guerrilla groups. They overuse this terrorist thing. By acting, the individual is fulfilling an obligation to defend his religion from outside Western oppression. Well, they do have plenty of Western oppression. I can't argue with that. What are we doing there except protecting some oil or protecting those criminal terrorist Saudi mullahs or whatever? They should be immediately hope with a scope, knock out the whole leadership of the Saudi Arabian government. That would be a good start. That would be a good start. The people around them and the countries around them would sure be thrilled. A failure to act would, by implication, result in a failure to enter paradise upon their deaths. Well, I guess the paradise would be as better than the Christians. Their paradise doesn't sound too cool, you know, walking around on streets of gold and you get to sit by God and talk to him, I guess. For some, especially those with mental vulnerabilities, I think that's half the population of the world, this can be a compelling narrative. With ISIS determined to engage in further attacks, well, according to what it's doing to help the military-industrial complex of this country and European countries, more weapons to sell, more money to be made, making these weapons. They're not going to quit because this is the best idea they've ever come up with. First, you go into a country because there's something they've got you want. Take it over, occupy it, and then have an internal civil war, blow the shit out of everything, and then all the people go scurrying away across the Mediterranean to Europe or the United States, spreading the bullshit as they go. What an operation that is. Who came up with that? Lone wolf is unlikely to be removed from the international security landscape in the immediate future. No, of course it's not. It's going to be there as long as the U.S. government and their NATO allies want it to be there. As long as vulnerable people exist, well, everybody's vulnerable. I don't care how big and powerful you are, how much money, how many billions of dollars you have, you're vulnerable. Except too many peasants don't understand it and don't believe it or don't care. Become entranced by the sophisticated narratives orchestrated on social media by ISIS will remain. Yeah. The challenge for Western societies, they never want to say white societies in particular, is to try and identify those with such vulnerabilities before they become beguiled by ISIS and its images of glory and death. Well, as a strategist, I would say you don't have to do that, Muslim. You don't have to do that. You decide who in the West is your real enemy and send waves of lone wolves to take them out. I mean, you know, that's not too hard to understand. Just keep them coming, you know, one after another. They get knocked off, send another. Get knocked off, send another. You don't need tanks. You don't need airplanes or missiles. You just need people with the guts like the Viet Cong and the Vietnamese had. And I remember that movie with Al Pacino, down there in Miami. I forget the name of it. But he thought he had it all wrapped up. He was like the central government of the United States. He had all the power, all the money, had all the drugs cornered. He had a big house, and he had all kinds of automatic weapons and all kinds of high-paid guards, all kinds of closed-circuit TV and everything. But if you'll notice at the end, which I particularly enjoyed, a bunch of unwashed, shoeless Colombians with knives in their teeth and a few small arms came right over his wall, right over his gate, right into the house and blew the shit out of him. Yeah, that's what you call simple warfare. It gets the job done. So now you know that it's all set up, that all this so-called terrorism killing so-called innocent people is just a scam. It's a scam. You wait and see if the lone wolves really got going and started bumping off their real enemies at the top, things would change real fast. And they'd have a hell of a lot of the population supporting them, too. Okay, well, I'll probably get a visit from, who knows, feds, FBI, CIA. No, I don't think so. I'm just a lonely little guy out here in the woods thinking about things. Well, here's some more anti-white terrorism. Yeah, the mother of a beaten 17-year-old white teenager in Sylacauga, Alabama. Teen is now calling the assault a hate crime. Of course it's a hate crime. Anytime you try to beat somebody's head in, it's a hate crime. All these kind of crimes are hate crimes. But usually it's only when it's a white boy beating the hell out of a black boy. Brandy Allen says her son was targeted for supporting police in the aftermath of recent shootings. Well, I would have cautioned her to tell him to stay out of it. Sorry, all you pro-cop people. She says she can't imagine a situation where anyone would deserve what happened to him. Well, no, it's undoubtedly niggers. They just decided he's a white boy, and that was just their excuse to beat the hell out of him. They don't need much of an excuse, you know. Quote, not knowing if my son is going to make it to his 18th birthday this month. I don't know if anyone can understand what that feels like, Allen said. Well, where's your husband? Where does he keep his guns? Where does he keep his knives? And where do these boys live that tried to kill your son? That's the question I'm asking you. She says her 17-year-old son, Brian Ogle, is in critical condition with a fractured skull and trauma to his brain. Well, somebody should pay. And don't depend on the courts or the cops to take care of it. It's time in this country you take care of your own. As of Sunday, he's doing better. He's able to recognize his mother, take commands, and say what year it is. And something that used to be an annoyance to Alan is now a blessing. His snoring is the best sound to hear because we could have lost him, Alan said. She says he was targeting for posting pro-police comments on Facebook after some Sylacauga high school students wore Black Lives Matter shirts to school last week. Well, white boys, you're going to have to get on a stick. You're going to have to be rough, tough, and able to dish it out because these sons of bitches will kill you. And you must be ready and willing to kill them first. Police say he was beaten up by multiple nigger people, damn it, the press, they leave that out, in an abandoned business parking lot Friday. You know, they lay in wait for him. And he said, whoa, what did I do wrong? They acknowledge growing racial tensions at the school could have played a part in the assault. This racial tensions are always around. As long as you got Negroes in your midst and in your town and in your school and in your church, you got a problem. It's not going to ever change until you separate the races or kill off the ones that are giving you trouble. Quote, I want to see them in jail. This most certainly is a race issue. It's a hate crime, Allen said. Well, nothing's going to happen. Nothing big. They'll get probation. No, in the old days, families took care of their problems. You seek out your opposition and you take care of it. Quote, I want to see them in jail. This most certainly is a race issue. It's a hate crime, Allen said. Well, it's a waste of time to put people like that in jail. They're animals. Yeah, you put them in jail. They thrive in jail, or they beat up other white guys in jail. No, that's got to be taken care of in much more serious ways. Police have not confirmed any of that, the thing they have said. They do not have any evidence that the organization Black Lives Matter played a part in this. So what? Get the ones who did it. You know the ones who did it. You don't even have to go after Black Lives Matter, but if they get in the way, you got to take care of them. Regardless of who is behind this, Allen says they want justice. No, you want revenge. It's tired of just justice. You want revenge. I want them punished to the fullest extent. To the fullest, my son could have lost his life. I won't stop until they're punished, Allen said. Police say they still have not made any arrests in this case, and they have not identified the niggers. Where's the father? He's probably in jail on drug usage. Where is the father? Oh, boy. You can't sympathize too much with white people anymore because they become so gutless and cowardly. And if you jumped into this argument, this woman would say, oh, well, we're not racist. Don't start that. We hate you worse than we hate them. They're just misguided young black people. But you're a horrible, horrible, horrible racist. Yeah. So you can't feel too sorry for these white people because they ask for it. They walk right into it. And they don't have the balls to do anything about it. So don't get involved. Well, now get your hanky out. You got to do some crying here. Do some real crying for the baby Jesus. Here we go. Here we go. Start crying.
And on Rosh Hashanah, tonight deputies are trying to track down those responsible for the unholy act. Vandals spray painted over parts of the Chabad of Parkland on the eve of the Jewish New Year. Some of the graffiti was so obscene. We had to blur it out. It was a hate crime, and it was intentionally set up, and that's unfortunate. But our response to these type of acts are always to add a little positive energy and some light and love.
Our
Sheriff Scott Israel is a member of the synagogue. The sheriff and others in the community spent part of the day cleaning up the building, which is under construction ahead of services.
Well, that's all the tears I got. Let's move on to some other horror story. Well, they had a big meeting up in San Francisco because there's a rise in crimes against Islam, and Asians, and all kinds of people. So they're saying, run for your lives, baby. So here's a meeting they had to see what they got to say.
I think the point is that beyond the statistics, we're looking at repercussions. How does this impact our society? So I'd just like to make 3 points. And the basic theme is, yes, there's cause for alarm, but there's also cause for hope. The cause for alarm is that xenophobia leading to hate crimes is the opposite side of the same coin as extremism that leads to terrorism. Both are saying that we Muslims do not belong in the world. Both are saying that there will always be a war between religions and between cultures. They both tear at the fabric of our society, making pluralism, or wanting to make pluralism, a topic of discussion for museums and academia that will eventually erode our democracy because pluralism will become irrelevant. So that is the challenge for us today, that we are demanding that we work harder to ensure our pluralism. In Europe, Muslims live in ghettos. What these hate crimes signify is the propensity for Muslim ghettoization in America. But there is cause for hope. The hope is in the partnership we have with one another, with the LA County Commissioner on Human Relations, Robin Toma, Commissioner O, Marshall Wong, who has done a great study on these kinds of hate crimes, with Chief Beatrice Grimala, who is our partner, with Chief Beck in the Los Angeles Police Department, with Sheriff McDonald and his Muslim Community Affairs Deputy, Mike Abdeen, who's with us today. They are always with us when there is a concern for hate and hate crimes. And all of our community partners who are with us today, we are ensuring that pluralism will prevail. That is the response to hate, hate crimes, extremism, and terrorism in a united manner, in a united front. We also have a bill that was signed by the governor, AB 2845, that is now going to ensure that bullying in schools against Muslims and Sikhs are going to be monitored and addressed thoroughly and effectively. And that was...
Well, boys and girls, all I can tell you, it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. They could have 1,000 meetings every night across this country. It's not going to change things. It's not going to change things. The end, you'll see what the end will be. Like when they practice this kind of crap down through history, it never worked. It never worked. Now, they're having this big meeting in this government building someplace there in L.A., yeah, Los Angeles County Human Relations Commission. I've had my time with those people. I used to go into their meetings and give them hell. Anyhow, you see the video of the room, and there's nobody in it but these guys at the top, in the front, up front, the guys talking, and three or four other people sitting there looking at papers in front of them. There's nobody in there. The public really care about this. The public are really upset about this. The public is going to do something about this hate crime stuff. Yeah. Well, they really showed them. They really showed them now. Up in Shasta County, California, a 40-year-old man has been sentenced to 115 years to life. 115 years to life in prison for hate crimes targeting mestizo victims. Shasta County District Attorney's Office says Michael Allen Bradley was sentenced for participating in crimes targeting mestizo victims. Well, if they weren't here, they wouldn't have been victims. If they'd have been in Mexico where they belong, they wouldn't be victims. After the trial, Bradley admitted to two prior strike convictions, two prior serious felony convictions, and two prison priors. Bradley used two deadly weapons during the convictions. The district attorney's office said Bradley and six other defendants were charged for a hate crime on two separate mestizo victims in July of 2014, in which one of the other defendants, Kayla Tanner, befriended the victims on Facebook. Tanner lured both victims and made romantic advances towards them. That's when they were carjacked, robbed, and almost kidnapped. Almost kidnapped? Interesting choice of words. The district attorney's office said the victims were targeted because they were mestizo greasy bastards and were believed to be less likely to report to law enforcement. Law enforcement. Bradley was found guilty by a jury on August 22nd of 2016 for a number of crimes, including kidnapping, for robbery, and false imprisonment by violence. But he didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill anybody. He gets 115 years. And these are white juries. They're white judges most of the time. So you see what you got to deal with? And give you any ideas how you've got to deal with it sooner or later? That story I told you about earlier about this teen being attacked Yeah, it's really something. They always say when it's a white guy gets attacked, beaten half to death or to death, mother claims it's a hate crime. In other words, the press doesn't come out and say it's a hate crime, because if something happens to any little tar baby anywhere in the country across the world, it's automatically a hate crime. But when it's a white kid, mother claims it's a hate crime. And most of the people in the press that are covering these stories are white. Most of the cops who won't say they're niggers are white. Most of the judges that'll deal with this guy, these guys, are white. We got a white problem. I think our problem's worse among the white race than the other races. If we took care of business within our own race and gave these people an offer they couldn't refuse, this wouldn't be happening all the time. Think about it. Well, the descent of the 2016 presidential campaign last week into the realm of sex tapes and marital infidelity was remarkable enough in its own right, but it also offered a reminder of what has been largely absent from the race, a debate about issues of public morality that for decades have been at the heart of the country's political divide. Don't take those bras off on the beach, babe. Can't walk around with no panties on. We got big problems. In a striking departure from the recent history of the White House campaigns, there has been almost no discussion of abortion or gay rights. White people don't care about anything, you know. If people are going to get abortions, they're going to get abortions. That's all there is to it. Sorry. Or gay rights, gay, homosexual rights. Number one, there is no, gay is a bad word. Rights, there are no rights. That's in your imagination. Rights are something the rich allow the poor people to have if they're good, if they mind their manners. Two of the most animating issues for millions of American voters, abortion and gay rights? I don't really think so. I think most of the white race is brain dead anyhow. This is more about this year's candidates than it is about the country, said Russell Moore, the public face of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he talks to God and Jesus every day. So don't give him any shit. He'll call down hellfire on you, man. Quote, I don't think America is as secular as this campaign and would have you think, unquote. Well, I think you're whistling past the graveyard, buddy, because thousands of people are leaving the churches every year. Thousands and thousands. In Europe, they're really leaving. So you're going to worship something. It's not going to be the old way. You can worship anything, like what's his name? The comedian said he worships Joe Pesci. Because when Pesci wanted to get something done, he got a baseball bat and did it. Yeah. Okay, what else here? The country may get a reminder of that on Tuesday evening during the Vice presidential debate. I love Vice when they say Vice, because all these politicians are up to their ass in Vice. The two men who will face off, Senator Tim Kaine, who from a distance looks to me like he could be a homosexual, although I have no proof, but just the way he acts and the way he talks, and I don't know, just my impression. And I think Hillary feels safe with a homosexual. I don't think she'd feel safe with a regular man. And Mike Pence of Indiana, who's been a ho-hum governor here, and he thinks he's a big Christian Jesus lover too, they both share a deep religious faith, not evidence, faith, that is central to their politics. Well, it's not supposed to be. You see, they're telling you right there that religion now has taken over a lot in politics, or always has. but has been obscured by a more profane than holy race on top of the ticket. Are they talking about my buddy Ronnie? While both men are devout, fanatical Christians, they represent different strands of Christianity in American life, a contrast that is likely to be on display as they discuss their positions on social issues of how we can love the Negroes more and the mestizos more, and how we can bring more and more millions of people from the Middle East that we have bombed and strafed and killed, the ones that escape, into our country. Jesus would love us for that. He would really love that. Mr. Pence, who was raised Catholic, turned toward evangelical Christianity when he was in college and has made no secret of how cultural issues have shaped his politics. Well, I'm sure that he did that because he lives in a mostly Protestant state, largely Protestant state of Indiana. So he was given the advice early on, hey, get out of that mackerel snapping church and get in something that fits people around here. He was one of the most outspoken foes of abortion rights for political reasons, of course, and same-sex marriage for political reasons, of course, when he was in Congress. And as Indiana's governor, he became engulfed in controversy after he signed legislation allowing the state's business owners to deny services to homosexual, lesbian, and transgendered people for religious reasons. Man, I ain't going to make a cake for that queer. No, get him out of here. I ain't making no cake for that queer. Who gives a shit? Of all the problems we've got as a race and a country, the press can keep you bogged down on bullshit day in and day out, 24 hours a day. But Mr. Pence, whose signature line is that he is a Christian, a conservative, whatever the hell that is, and a Republican, in that order, finds himself in a campaign devoid of any debate about the moral questions that have for decades been central to the country's right-left political divide. Huh. Mr. Kane, who, like Mr. Pence, has Irish roots, watch him, and was raised Catholic, had his faith forged when, during the law school, he went to Honduras. Oh, he went with the Peace Corps. They helped the Honduran people that our government supplied weapons to their leaders to dictate over them and kill them and terrorize them. He served as a missionary for the Jesuits. The Jesuits, that's the SS of the Catholic Church. It was there that he embraced a brand of liberation theology. Jesus Christ, that's all those leftists. Radical communists were liberation theology centered on social justice. That's so close to saying he's a goddamn communist as anything. That would eventually be one of the forces propelling him into government. Jesus, he's worse than I thought he was. I didn't read all this stuff about him. Oh, man. Earlier in his political career, Mr. Kane's style of Catholicism made him uneasy with some elements of the Democratic Party, particularly on issues like abortion rights and same-sex marriage. Well, he has since shifted on those issues to accommodate his party. In other words, he's a pure politician. That's their religion. And his running mate, he remains unapologetic about how important his faith in his is to his career in public service. You know what? Millions of white Americans eat this shit up and believe it. It's all fucking bullshit. I'm glad I got out of that religion stuff. Quote, I've been very plain about my time in Honduras, where I loved the Honduran people and I was screwing Honduran women all the time. And they were so nice. And about how important my own spiritual life is to me, and my big motivator is this, Mr. Kane said in an interview. He said he had not encountered any discomfort from his party, which polls show to be increasingly secular and not interested in regular religion, when he talks about his religious beliefs. Quote, it doesn't divide you from people, he said. It actually connects you to people because they're skeptical about people in politics. Skeptical, they hate their guts, but don't have the balls to kill them. But curious about us, too. And if you share with them what motivates you, that gives you some understanding of who you are. Well, I think I'm going to watch Green Acres again tonight. I don't think I could take 5 minutes of these guys. But the openness with which the vice presidential candidates discuss religion and their focus on moral issues have not been shared by their partners atop the ticket. Well, at least we got some of the bullshit out of the way. Wait a minute. Donald J. Trump, who has been married 3 times and boasted of his affairs, does not discuss matters of sexual morality, even when speaking to Christian conservatives. Where was I there? Mr. Trump did not mention abortion or even allude to the sanctity of life in a single time in his marathon acceptance speech at this summer's Republican National Convention. Well, but we've got Obama the Negro. He's going to church every Sunday, but he's dropping bombs on people all over the Middle East. He's droning them, everything else, knocking off the leaders of other countries and all that stuff. But he's a good Christian. Hillary Clinton prefers to draw attention to Mr. Trump's statements on race and gender, painting him as an outlier from his own party rather than in fashion of most Democratic presidential candidates, linking him to the Republican Party's hardline social platform. Well, she belongs to a witch's coven up there in San Francisco, somebody said. They said she flies over there every once in a while. That's pretty hard to believe, but could be, I guess. Well, that's about it for me for today. I can't take much more of this bullshit. So, Jesus, save me from the bullshit, please. 14:5, boys and girls. Watch your back. Don't trust most white people. In fact, I've known black people I trust more than most white people. I'm sorry, boys. You can fire me if you want, but it's true.